Hey everyone, this podcast is part of Story Mode, the podcast network of Gamefully Unemployed. You can support us and gain access to other great exclusive podcasts at patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. That's patreon.com/GAMEFULLY unemployed, which is spelled like it sounds. You guys, it's the Grudge.
Hi, everybody.
It's like the 18th Grudge movie. Hi, everyone.
My name is David Bell.
And I am Tom Ryman.
And we just watched
The Grudge.
Someone was murdered at the house.
Why did you never go into that place?
Something never felt right about it.
Looks like we got another one.
Do you think that the body we found's related? Hello? I went to the house. Hello? Police department.
I don't know why we decided to do that, but I'm glad we did.
It happened. That's all that matters.
It is like the 18th Grudge movie.
Right. Well, there's also, because there's like three Grudge movies in this Grudge movie.
In this one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, all right. Let's get into it. Because that I actually think is traditional for the Grudge movies.
Is it? I have no memory. I think I've seen the first Grudge like once, and I've seen Ju-on like once.
Okay. Okay.
And I saw him like 15 years ago.
Okay. So. I like Ju-on. The one with Sarah Michelle Gellar, that's also the same director as the original.
Mm-hmm.
And then the sequel is the same director as well. And my stance on those movies is that they're surprisingly well done, but slowly go and become like a clown show as they go.
Yeah.
In that they become more cartoony in the way the villain, the ghost, operates. And a lot of those, like The Ring as well, where it's like, yeah, there's clearly no way to, like, where there's no solution. And it's very random the way the scares work, you know?
That's true, yeah.
Like, something like It Follows, it's like there's rules that make it more scary, because it's like you can't really beat it, but you can try. Mm-hmm. The Grudge, it got to that point where, like, there's a, I think it's the third one, maybe the second, where someone's like in a hallway and they crouch down and they're in a hoodie and the ghost comes out of their hoodie, like from the back. And it's like, okay, well, so there's no way they can get away from this ghost ever.
No, that's the thing with The Grudge. I think that's actually in both the Japanese sequel and the American sequel, is the hoodie scene.
Okay, but the originals, it's a little, I don't know, it's a little more tame. I guess we should talk about this new one.
Mm-hmm.
Tom, did you like this?
I'm very, I definitely didn't love it. I thought it was well directed and there's some really cool shots in it, but it's pretty boring.
Yes. The most surprising thing was that I didn't hate this.
Yeah.
It's getting very bad reviews. The audience reviews, I even noticed a lot of audience reviews of people who are saying, like, I fell asleep during this movie.
It's boring.
Yes, it is boring. When it's good, it's good, it's very good, but it doesn't...
And the director is somebody to watch. I forget
the eyes
name
of my
his
mother.
Previous... That's right, yeah. So it's a good director.
For sure. It's weird. One of the things that got wrong, I thought, was the ghost part. Because this... All right. For people who are wondering, this isn't technically not a reboot. It's a sequel.
No. It's like a sequel.
Yeah.
To all of them.
Yeah.
Kind of.
I think... Well, the
more specifically, it's specifically the Japanese one.
I guess it is. I guess it is. It's not mm-hmm. the Sarah Michelle Gellar one.
No.
And it's the idea is someone left the Grudge house and came to America and settled down, and the Grudge basically followed her.
Yeah, it brought she brought the ghost with her.
Right, which is weird because we don't the ghost isn't actually in this.
Not really. We see the ghost we see her a few times.
Yes.
But it's primarily it's weird. Like it's not it takes the form of all the people that have been murdered because of the grudge in that house rather than the actual ghost herself, which you only see maybe twice and you never see her face.
Well, that does happen in the other grudges, is the people who've been murdered come back as ghosts.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't, from what I remember, it doesn't make you kill other people.
Right. I thought the ghost killed you.
Yes. Also, they made the ghosts look different because I think one of the things that kind of stands out about the Grudge movies is that they kind of look, I guess you could argue silly, but they could be done in a good way. They're ashen. They're gray and ashen, and they're you know, wide-eyed, and they move weird.
Right, they move. They look more like traditional ghosts.
Yeah, and that's I would have liked to see a gritty, a grounded version of that look. That said, I actually liked that it was slow. I liked that it was
kind of. I just tipped my hand watching this movie. I was like, this feels like it was like could it should have been like a mini series.
It's I'm having trouble identifying what exactly needed to be fixed because yes, it is boring. I liked the storytelling technique. I like that it was disjointed and it slowly brings the characters together and you figure out what
happened. And then Frankie Faison straight up says, everybody who stepped into this house and everybody who will step into this house, we're all bonded and time works different here. And so that there's three different timelines in the movie that it jumps between.
Yeah. And in the original Grudge, they follow different characters. It keeps cutting to black and it'll be the new character name. And they're little vignettes. Okay, now it's this person. Now it's this person. And then in the Sarah Michelle Gellar one, I think they have two timelines because it's
I can't remember.
I believe it's Bill Pullman, right? Isn't Bill Pullman?
I do not remember if he's in it or not.
I want to remember.
I remember almost nothing about the Sarah Michelle Gellar version.
Okay. I think it's two timelines because they follow why the murder. It's kind of a lot of these movies are almost murder mysteries where it's what does the ghost want? And then you discover oh, this is why they died. This is what happened to them. And I remember
she got pushed down the stairs and broke her neck, right? That's why she sounds like that.
I think so. Bill Pullman was in the original Grudge. He was in it for a second. It was a shocking cameo to have Bill Pullman in there. I think it opens with Bill Pullman jumping out a window and dying.
Dope. That's how you grab your audience. You're like, you guys like Bill Pullman? Here he is jumping out a window.
Yeah.
Strap in. Let's go. Opening credits.
So it's like multiple timelines is a regular theme, I guess.
Okay.
Because it's talking about here's the current haunting and then here's what's happened that led up to it. This is definitely the most timelines I remember in one of these, which is three. And also I forgot the peekaboo stuff. That's in the original too. It's an old man in the original who's playing peekaboo with a ghost. So it does feel like they're not going off the Sarah Michelle Gellar one nearly as much.
No, I think it's explicitly a sequel to the Japanese one. I haven't looked, but it might even be the same house that they start in.
It's similar looking. I don't know. I think it might be I don't think it matters. I think it's again reboot / sequel. Because the ghost doesn't look. The ghosts don't really act anything like it. They make that sound still, but it's a little less, like you said, the ghost is not in it that much.
Right. We barely see her and we never, if it's a reboot, it's strange because they never explain the ghost.
No, they don't.
And I think that's part of the movie's problem. It goes in, it's very slow, in doling out the information of what's happened, but it's we all already know what the grudge is.
Right.
So it's like it's hard to draw the suspense out in that way because we all know exactly what the game is, pretty much.
Right, and that I think that was the thing that was missing is because the grudge in this one, it doesn't start from a... Like, it's not... I thought they were going to just do a new grudge, basically.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, a new murder, and then we get to, learn through those... the time leaps what's going on. But we don't. The only mystery is just, like, how did it unfold?
Right. The only mystery is... and it's... Yeah, it's kind of mystery box-ish.
Oh yeah,
because
for sure.
Because the
main
the
character
detective
knows.
She knows. She has all the case files and everything. Yeah. So the only mystery is how exactly all these people died, and yeah. it withholds that information from us until kind of the end.
I don't mind that. I don't mind that if it's done well, because there's a creepiness to that. Like, I don't know if it was in the original. Of all the movies, the Texas Chainsaw Massacre remake, I think. They're like ads were like showing the aftermath or talking about it. Like I like the idea of starting a movie showing the aftermath and then going back and telling us the story. I think that works for horror because in the end there isn't a mystery. Like they aren't trying to outsmart us in this movie. So them withholding the information is just them trying to tell the story a specific way. But yeah, it is cheating technically because we know... That character at least knows what's happens, but there's no mystery again.
No,
it's weird. I think I would be more forgiving of the slowness if the scary stuff was better.
Yeah, that's the thing. I think that's definitely the other thing is that it's boring not just because it's slow, but because the scares aren't scary.
Yes. I'm trying to think of if there was any scare that stood out because it felt like they were flipping through like the book of just cliche scares. They did the lights out scare where someone's switching
sure
on
did.
And on a light. That's also in, I think, Sinister 2. It's like it's whenever these jump scare movies happen, it's like whenever someone invents a new one, they like put it in a vault. And then when they're going to make another horror movie, they like open the vault and they take all of them out and they go, okay, well, here's all the ones we have now. So let's do all of them.
They put it in a baseball card album.
Right. And they retire ones over time where they're like, okay, the mirror, the opening of the mirror and then shutting the mirror and there's something there. It's been done enough. So let's just do like the tease of that. And then we'll do a shot where it shows up in the sink or in the negative space behind them, or you know they'll do the fake out scares and then they become cliche too, where it's like, oh, okay, now we know there's going to be a scare because they pretended that there was going to be a scare a second ago. And ultimately, I think this is why jump scares don't work, because it has to constantly evolve to it's like a pie in the face joke where it's like, oh, when's the pie coming?
Yeah.
Oh, it didn't come yet. Oh, there it came. You know, yeah, it's the same bit every time.
Yeah, there's only so many ways you can do that. I did like this director does some interesting things with the shots where it was a little kind of Haunting of Hill House. Like there would just kind of be ghosts casually in the background.
Yeah, I liked that.
And I liked that. I love the last shot of the movie.
Yes, me too. I didn't like that resolution, but I liked the last shot.
I mean, it's the only way it can resolve. That's kind of you mentioned at the top of the episode, but like you can't beat the grudge.
Right.
Like, it's just like there's nothing you can do.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking because she goes and talks to Bill Sadler, who was a detective that like investigated it and also got the curse and went nuts and shot himself in the face and clawed his eyes out. He's like, you got to burn the house down. And I'm like immediately I was like, well, that's not going to do anything.
No, why would it?
Like, because she brought the ghost back. Like, the ghost attached to the lady that brought it back from Japan. It's not attached to the house.
Yeah, and that's a very big haunted house cliche. They do that where they're like, let's just move. And it's like, you can't move. And for once, I'd like to see one where it's like, you can't move. And they're like, well, I'm going to try. And the ghosts are like, damn it. You totally can. You totally can move.
You're right. It's like every single one.
Yeah. Well, because
Poltergeist.
Yeah, because they have to do that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's part of the idea of a haunting is I think you go to a house And then the house, like The Haunting of Hill House has that as well, where it's like you go to a house and then the house sort of fucks with you in a specific way. And then when you leave it, you know, I would argue The Shining also does it too, where it's like, yeah, you take that shit with you afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And that's fine. You know, it's like going anywhere and you meet some ghosts and the ghosts are like, hey, I like that person. And then you leave. It's not like the ghosts are like, ah, darn it. They can get in your car. You know, they can travel too.
They'll just be sitting in your car with you, make you have an accident.
Yeah, exactly.
Last shot, man, is killer.
That's... Yeah, the last shot just of the house, you mean?
Right, yeah, where it's basically what happens is the detective, who is Mandy from the film Mandy.
That's where I knew her from. That was killing me.
Yep, that's Mandy.
She's great. I really liked her in this. I liked everybody. Yeah. We should note the actors in this. Holy shit.
There's some good actors in it.
Yeah. There's Jun Cho,
Betty Gilpin from Glow.
Yep. Who's the one I'm thinking of from fucking... this is going to kill me. I got to look her up. Lin Shea is in there.
Mm-hmm. Frankie Faison.
Jackie Weaver. That's the one I was thinking of. Yep, Jackie Weaver is fucking in here. She and, just... Oh, man.
I'm going to fuck his name up. Demian Bashir, I think, is his name.
Yeah.
He was in The Nun, but he was also in The Hateful Eight, and he's an Academy Award nominated actor.
Yeah. I mean, Jackie Weaver, fucking, I know she, didn't she win something? Maybe not. She was nominated, but her in Animal Kingdom is one of my favorite performances, and then she's just been playing like bit characters, bit roles from here on, and it's like, come on, give Jackie Weaver more to do. She's so good. Anyway, sorry, I interrupted you.
Oh, that's it. I was just saying that.
The last shot.
Oh, yeah, the last shot. So she, the detective thinks that, she goes to the Grudge house and burns it down and thinks that she's beaten it. And she's getting her weird kid up for school and giving him a hug and being like, I love you so much. Let's get you on the bus. And then in the background, we see her son pick up his backpack being like, I'm going to school, Mom. And he leaves. And then she's like, oh, I'm hugging a ghost. And then the ghost turns into the ghost girl, and then it turns into Jackie Weaver. It drags her down the hallway, and she's just shrieking.
Yeah.
And then hard cut to the outside of the house, just like a framed exterior shot of the house, and you can hear the tail end of her shrieking, and then it's just the house. And it just stays on the house through the end credits.
Yep.
With no music. It's just the wind blowing.
Yeah.
It's such a good fucking shot.
It really is.
It's such a good ending.
Especially since it's just, it's about kind of these things getting left in houses. So, you know, like, okay, here's yet another house where it's,
Yep. And like the creepiness of that are hidden in like right in the middle of the suburbs.
Yeah. Oh, for sure. Yeah. It's, I mean, this is a lot of talent behind this movie.
Yeah.
Which makes me wonder, what exactly went wrong? Because what you described, the part leading up into it where the ghost shows up, it's just like your regular everyday ghost. It's just like, oh, dark straight hair and fucking.
Well, like, that's the Grudge ghost.
Going like, bah. Yeah, but no, but it isn't. It doesn't look like the Grudge ghost. It doesn't have that paleness. It doesn't have like.
Well,
it just seems like I think. They wanted to update the look of it, and I think they accidentally just made it look like every other ghost.
Yeah, the others definitely do. I think the Grudge ghost herself might still look like that, because I think we briefly see her face in the very beginning.
Briefly.
And, like, the arms that come out of the garbage bag to grab Jackie Weaver's leg.
They're kind of pale, yeah.
They're ashen and pale. But, like, I think... She might be the same ghost, because we never see her face for the rest of the movie. It's just the hair in front
of it. Just in the originals, the others kind of would turn into that, too.
Yeah, I remember that. Like, the little boy and...
Yeah, and, like, the part in the original, and I think it might be in the sequel, where, like, her friends all turn into them as well. It's weird, because the originals get more cartoony as they go, but they also were very creative. At first, and where the ghosts could come from and how the scares could happen.
Yeah.
Like, they were good about jump scares are always kind of, you know, yeah, they're a problem. But like one of my favorite things I remember in the Sarah Michelle Gellar one, which has the same director as the original, is she's on a bus, and you probably remember the scene where the jump scare is the reflection turns into the ghost. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, whatever. What they do to set that up that was really well done is when she's riding on the bus, the bus goes by a bicycle, and the bicycle makes the same clicking sound that the ghost does.
Yeah.
And it does it before, like a beat before that happens. And so then when the clicking comes, you're used to it. So it does a really good job at like luring you into the comfort of the mm-hmm. scene. Of yeah. like, oh, there's that sound, but oh, it's a bicycle. And there was little things like that that they would do. And like the way the shots were composed and the sound, which was like, yeah, better. And this isn't really creative at all.
Not really. They do like one thing, and we saw it in the other movies, where the ghost reaches, when John Cho is in the shower, it reaches through the back of his hair.
Right.
But the rest of it is just jump scare... bloody ghosts appearing, you know?
It's very like, yeah, they're in a closet, they're hiding there, and then behind them, oh, it's a ghost! And it's like, mm-hmm. yeah, I know it. There's a ghost there, because you telegraphed it, because there's all, I think, or like, yeah, John Cho is in bed and the sheets get pulled.
That was okay, but like, the payoff wasn't great.
No, the payoff is never that good. That's the thing, the lead-up. Like, again, it's a good director, so a lot of the lead-up was good. I liked the basement when she was... I just like the way they set that up. She goes out of the bathroom in the basement, walks down to, like, records, sees mm-hmm. a shadow where she came from.
And then,
goes back, checks the security room, and looks in the security tape and sees one of the ghosts coming out. And that was really well done.
Mm-hmm.
That was also something from the other ones where security footage ghosts is like a big one.
Yeah, and like some of the things, like when she first walks into the house, that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Like she walks in and she sees Lin Shaye, who has just, I mean, we learned that she had some sort of condition that only got worse when she and Frankie Faison moved into the Grudge house. So she's like completely detached from reality and she's not able to care for herself. And we kind of see that because there's like garbage piled up and newspapers piled up in front of the house. And inside it's like, there's just garbage everywhere. It looks like a hoarder's episode.
Right.
And she's in the kitchen at the sink. And this is one. It also ties into like some of the cool things they do with the timelines, the multiple timelines. Is she standing in the kitchen, much in the same way that the assisted suicide lady will later find her, but yes. in the earlier timeline.
Yeah.
And Detective Mandy is like, "You're right. Can I help you?" And she turns around and she's like stuffing her fingers into her throat and being like, "Are you going to feed me? My husband used to feed me."
Mandy did not react enough. Because she's, like, bloody, too. And like,
it was
Mandy's
hard to tell
just, like,
what that was.
Yeah.
It looked like black stuff.
Yeah. Mandy's just kind of like, oh, what? Are you okay,
man? I mean, Mandy's seen some shit.
That's true.
And then, like, she reveals that all of her fingers have been cut off.
Right.
And at that point, it looks as though she has eaten them off, but I think later it just shows her chopping her fingers off at the cutting board like they're vegetables. And then her husband, Frankie Faison, is just dead on the couch in front of the television with maggots crawling all over him.
Yes.
It was a solid reveal of like, oh, this is a chamber of horrors.
Yeah. I do have questions about her character and what exactly happened
Lin
with
Shaye?
Her. Yeah. Is because, okay, so Jackie Weaver goes there, and her husband's like, she's a advocate, or she helps people die, basically.
She's an assisted suicide
person.
There
we go.
Yeah.
And he's like, can you help with her? And then she's like, she's just crazy. I can't do that.
Well she says, like, the people that I have performed this service to have to be... mentally competent, like
yeah,
they have to be aware
of
what's
mind.
Happening.
Yeah,
and then they have to be able to physically do the process themselves.
Right, and she's clearly off her rocker, like she's playing peekaboo
right,
with a ghost.
Yeah, she's talking to somebody that, as far as they can tell, is not there.
Yeah, And so she stays over, which is, I don't know. This whole adventure they're on there is very weird to me.
Yeah, it was a little strange.
It's fun. I mean, it was fine. I didn't mind it. But I love that the husband was just like, I should call one of these assistant suicide people to, like, help my wife kill herself. But, like, she's in no condition for that. She's not, like, I don't know. He's just like, I can't. Like, it seemed like he was just like, I'm sick of her. Like, she's a real pain in the ass.
No, he explains it later.
Yeah, he does. But it's weird at the time. And then Jackie Weaver is just like, I'll stay here for a few days. And it's like, no, don't do that. That's weird. And then they have like, and then they just like sort of hang out. But what I was getting to is that Jackie, the story, because they find Jackie Weaver's body at the beginning. That's who Mandy finds. Cop, yeah. Mandy. And she's like rotted in a car in the woods. And we learn later this is what happened, is that she then walked in and she's doing the cutting, like you said, cutting the vegetables, but it's her fingers. Mm-hmm. And her husband is dead on the kitchen floor. And Jackie Weaver runs, leaves, and crashes her car.
Yeah, because of the grudge.
Yeah, and then they said she's been there for how long? Like months?
It must have been, yeah.
I'm curious what happened between that point. Because then I guess she presumably just like hung out in that house with her husband's corpse, eventually carried it to the TV, and like, yeah, no one checked on them. And I guess that's fine. And then they cut to, when they find her, they cut to a hospital that she's in, and she's just wheeling around and everybody's saying hi to her.
Right.
Like, and I was like, that's weird.
Right. Why is she roaming around free? She murdered her husband. Like, she, right, should... Like, she's dangerous.
Yeah, shouldn't she be under arrest?
Yeah, she should, at the very least, not be given free roam of the hospital.
Right. It's there's these weird gaps of time where I'm like, oh. And then she just, like, kept living, huh? And then she jumps to her death mm-hmm. in the stairway and splatters.
And it's pretty bitchin'.
Yeah, it's gnarly. And then, these aren't, like, real criticisms with the movie. It was just funny to me that these, like, that happened.
No, I mean, that's I had that thought in the theater, and that is, yeah, a legitimate criticism, because it's like, wait a minute. Like,
I guess it is for a movie like this that it's very invested in like telling us this timeline and what's, yeah, happening. Like, it feels like it's supposed to be grounded. And
I get that, because she's been living on her own for maybe a month or two while Jackie Weaver's been rotting in the forest.
Right.
So she was only just placed in the hospital, which makes it even stranger.
Right.
Although I guess they don't technically know that she killed her husband. They can't get anything out of her because she is completely detached.
Yeah.
She's totally untethered.
Yeah.
But they should still be watching her. The biggest timeline confusion I had was with John Cho, because John Cho has clearly just sold the house to this family, and yet somehow they're already dead.
Oh,
I don't understand that at all.
I was under the impression that, okay, you're right. I was under the impression that they were moving from the house.
Maybe.
Like, he was selling their house.
Maybe. Yeah, he needed them to sign the closing papers.
Yeah, that was my assumption, is he was selling house.
Okay, you're right. It is still a little strange, but...
Yeah, I did like all the John Cho stuff. When he attacks her in the kitchen, that was freaky,
it was a great shot.
Yeah, where he threw the window. It's, yep, a fucking... That's... All right, that's the thing about this, is I think where this director did really well was when it wasn't ghosts. When it was, yeah, like the murders. The murders were
disturbing, especially when... Yeah. The mom, the original mom, is drowning her daughter, like,
oh,
dunking her,
God,
repeatedly in the tub, and it's like smashes her face on the bottom of the tub when she's,
yeah,
doing it.
That was so good.
It was so brutal.
It felt like this director wasn't interested in the ghost stuff.
I don't think he particularly was.
Yeah, and like...
Because the ghost stuff is very... Aside from the kind of clever things he does by sticking them in the background, they're really just paint-by-numbers ghosts, like you said.
Yeah, and he changed it so that they like drive people to kill.
Yes, because that's clearly what he's more interested in.
Yes, and that is done better because
They're all the murder sequences are actually pretty well done.
Yeah, they're done. It reminds me of like, it reminds me of The Happening, where the murders are done in this way where they're clearly possessed by something that is causing them to just kill as quickly and efficiently as possible.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there was, I believe there was a little of that in the original Grudge. Like, isn't there a scene where a woman's
I can't remember.
I think there's a scene where a woman's baking, like, creating breakfast and she kills a guy with the skillet. Mm-hmm. Is random acts of murder in The Grudge.
Yeah.
I think the remake, though.
Maybe. I do like that. For like, he does two different styles of it, and they're both very well done. So like, I still see like there's clearly a lot of talent with this director. With I think the actress's name is Tara Westwood. Like, when she's the woman who brings the ghost back with her from Japan. Like, the when we see her murders, we see the murders,
right?
But with John Cho, we see the aftermath.
Yes, which is
just as chilling.
Yes. And especially because
you see him. Go ahead.
Oh, just because of what it is, because it's one is his pregnant wife.
Yeah, and they're dealing with like he's going to have, I think, muscular dystrophy or something.
Right, and they put that in there, and that's not really necessary to the plot, I guess.
No, but it made them real, and it made you care about them.
Yes, and I really liked that.
Yeah,
because of what you're saying. Is that you get kind of invested in their relationship. They have sweet moments in their relationship.
Right, and they're both such good actors. Like that scene where they're having dinner after they found out that it's like a 99% certainty that their baby is going to, I forget what it was. It was some very serious condition.
Yeah.
And they're eating dinner quietly, and he's like, are we just not going to talk? And then she's like, I don't know what to say. And then she starts crying, and she asks, are you mad at me? And I was like, oh my God.
I know. Holy shit.
It was like such a real moment.
And then, yeah, it's a mini movie within this movie. Because it basically, he then goes to the house that he's, I think, selling, and he's... And he finds the little girl where the murder's already happened, and he doesn't realize it. And he finds the little girl who's, I believe, a ghost.
Yes, she is a ghost at this point.
Yeah, and he takes her in, and he does a very poor job at handling the situation. As far as I'm concerned, he should have given them like 10 minutes and then called those cops, but whatever.
Yeah, you can't leave a 7-year-old girl up by herself.
He doesn't. He just stays with
her. Well, I'm saying. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, the parents.
I'm with you. I would have called the cops. and he couldn't get them on the phone. It's like, no, I'm calling the cops.
Yeah, and the girl has a horrendous bloody nose.
Yeah,
and it's just like, there's something wrong here. I don't want to find a dead body. I don't want to find a murder suicide in this house. So I'm gonna call the cops so they can find the murder suicide. But he doesn't. He like stays with the girl, and then there's that scare sequence that really isn't good. When he goes up to find the bathtub, and then the hand comes out, and it's all very much like the original, the bathtub stuff. And he runs in the closet like a little baby.
That's the fun. Like the theater laughed.
Yeah. It's like what are you doing, John?
He runs into a closet, and then his phone starts ringing, and he doesn't panic. He just kind of lets it ring for a little bit and flips it open and sees that it's his wife calling, and then the ghost gets him. It's like, you're hiding, and your phone is ringing.
There's some pretty priceless reactions to ghosts in this. Officer Mandy pulls her gun out at the ghosts, which I was like, oh, yeah, give that a shot. I mean, I would, too. But
I would, too. I mean, I would give it a shot.
Yeah.
You know
you
what?
You never know.
You never know. Nobody's ever tried to shoot a ghost before. Maybe it works.
Yeah. Maybe they become like super ghosts.
Yeah.
They get double killed. But yeah, before the ghost, he calls his wife, and then she basically says that she still loves this fetus inside of her, and she wants to have it. And then there's a silence, and then she's like, are you okay? And he's like, I'm just so happy right now. And they resolve it.
It's clearly the answer he wanted.
Yeah, she basically says, I want to have this kid, and she's scared that he won't. And then he's like, no, so do I. I wanted you to have this kid. So they like resolve it, and then he gets ghost attacked, and then he goes home and stabs her to death with scissors.
Stabs to death with scissors. And that shot is so good. It's like the outside of the house. And she's like, she can tell something's wrong with him because he's come home in the middle of the night and just left the door open. And he's standing, you can't really see his face. He's standing in the shadows of the kitchen and he's not responding.
It's like The Happening, where it's like he walked in and found the first implement of murder he could.
And then it cuts to a shot of the exterior of the house and we can see through the windows, like she's in one window, he's in another. And then he rushes towards her. And
in like an inhuman way.
In an inhuman speed, yeah.
Yeah.
And she takes a step back, and then it just cuts to the next morning with her stabbed to death on the kitchen floor. It cuts into their baby room, which is just brutal.
Yeah.
And then it cuts to him. He has drowned himself in the bathtub.
Yes. And I gotta say, he could have filled the sink because he filled the bathtub up to the goddamn brim, and then it's just like his face in there, and it's like, well, come on, John Cho, if you're that like possessed by, if you're that like The Happening, you don't need the full bathtub. You had to sit and wait for that to fill up, really?
The sink wouldn't have worked because you pass out before you drown, I assume.
So he would have
fallen over and not been in the sink. He could have drowned himself in the toilet. That would have been faster.
Yeah, toilet. What do you think he did while that bathtub was filling up?
Probably just stared straight ahead into space.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you're right.
If you want to be honest.
I like to think he'd like put on the news for a second to see what's going on.
Well, I mean, it's like you can see he's still holding the scissors. Like, so he clearly just came straight to the bathroom, filled it up, just knelt there waiting for it to fill up, and then just drowned himself.
Yeah.
Just kneeling in front of the bathtub.
He could have stabbed himself with the scissors. That, I mean,
he could have. Yeah, he could have.
The other woman, that's, I think, what she shoves her husband down. A lot of bathtub stuff. She shoves her husband. Is there something where the ghosts are like, you know, when you play Friday the 13th and you want to get, there's like points for getting different kills?
Getting different kills, yeah.
Yeah, that's what the ghosts are doing. Because it's like, she shoves her husband down the stairs, drowns her kid.
Well, she bashes her husband's jawbone off with a candlestick, and then he falls down the stairs.
Right, that's true. Yeah. It's not really the stairs.
Right. The stairs definitely added to it, but...
Yeah.
The setup to that combo was pretty devastating.
Yeah. But yeah, and then she stabs herself in the neck.
Yep.
She could have stabbed them all in the neck, is what I'm saying.
She could have, but hey, variety is the spice of death.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, these sequences, this is where the movie shined. And I thought the slow burn was kind of where it shined. The character development, the making me kind of...
The teasing out of the different storylines, but like...
Yes. And there were moments of where I like where she brings her kid to the police station and... The cop shows him 48 hours.
And
it's like, oh, don't do that. Jesus.
He's like, I think you can watch this. Well, his choices are 48 hours or The French Connection.
Right.
So it's like...
Neither
are good ideas.
But, like, they did little moments like that. I think the problem is they didn't give the actors... Like, the main lady, Mandy, she was just so serious the whole fucking movie. And it wasn't her fault.
No.
Like, when she looks back, when she rewinds the tape in the basement, she sold the shit out of that.
Where yeah, she did.
She's staring
at
it, and her eyes look so haunted. Like, she did a great job. I needed, like, that's why John Cho and, like, that wife thing was great, because they gave us something to give a shit about, and they made them very likable. I feel like they didn't do that enough with the other characters.
Not enough. They give us some platitudes. Like, we like her because she's the main character. She's a single mom who clearly has a good relationship with her kid. Their husband just died of cancer. But yeah, I could have used more character stuff from her. But she's also sort of, she's like the narrative dump. Like, her role in the movie is to basically just read about these previous other stories and then occasionally get fucking harassed by ghosts.
Yeah, which is weird because they have the other cop who botches his car suicide. William Sadler, yeah, who's in this.
He sure is. He blows half of his face off.
He does. Well, that's, you know, he did try to do it in a car. It's fucking swerving around. But he's doing all the research. So it's like they had him for the exposition. I like the scenes where she like asked the other cop to come over and like they're hanging out and like there were opportunities when they're in the car together. Like I could have used some comedy even. Like I could have used some exchanges that were fun.
Yeah, this is a really grim movie.
Yeah, I could have used like a Jordan Peele touch up. Like a
just, right. There's like two jokes in this movie.
Yeah. Because since it's a slow burn, which I have no problem with, you really have to focus on making the characters.
Yeah, and you gotta deliver on those ghost moments.
Yeah.
And the ghosts themselves just weren't very scary, even though, like you said, she is selling the shit out of it. Like,
she is.
Watching the security camera. Like, when the ghost finally appears to her, and she points her gun at it, and then as soon as she does, all the lights come back on, like... her reaction in that moment was great. Like she's sitting there like her face is like, what, like she's like shaking, yeah. But like her face is also conveying like, what the fuck did I just see?
Yeah.
And she clearly doesn't want to lower her gun.
Yeah.
She's like, I don't trust this building right now.
Yeah. And so like, it's weird. Like I kind of like when this movie comes out on streaming,
I might watch it again. Yeah.
I might watch it again. Because the scares aren't there, but it's a good background movie, and people, it's not lazy.
Like, no, it really isn't. And there's some, like we said, there's some truly great shots and moments in this movie.
Yeah, it's not as bad as the reviews are making it out to be. Although I will say a lot of the reviews talked about it in this way too, that it was kind of frustrating.
That it's just boring.
Yeah, and that is tough. You know, like sitting in a theater, I had teenagers behind me and it's just like halfway through, there was like clearly kids behind me, like a teenage girl, two teenage girls, two teenage guys, like double date style.
Sure.
I imagine. I don't know their business. I didn't follow them to their car.
You didn't. Well, you should do that though. Normally you do that. You follow them.
You see what's what. Yeah.
Yeah. You follow them back to wherever they're going. You hand them your headshot, your screenplay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Your phone number, see if they want to hang out.
Absolutely. And then you flip out if they're rude to you.
Right, because it's called common courtesy. It's called manners.
Exactly. Who the fuck are they to talk to me like this?
How dare they?
Yeah. I just wanted to hang out with them. I just wanted
that's
to come,
all I wanted.
Come to their house and hang out with them.
That's all I wanted.
Yeah.
How dare you?
Yeah, but they were all like giggly, and one of them was like clearly didn't like horror movies and was like, I don't know if I could sit through this. And then they just got real quiet halfway through, and it was like, oh, I'm sorry, guys. Like, oh, these poor teenagers. Like, they wanted to see like a real like shit show. Like, they wanted to see the original Grudge.
They wanted to see The Nun.
Yeah, they wanted to see The Nun. They wanted to see like a real piece of shit. Mm-hmm. And this wasn't a real piece of shit. It was just... It was kind of a movie that did some cool ideas and it didn't quite work.
Right. I think this would have been better as like a limited Netflix series.
Yeah. Yeah, if they could even stretch it out more.
Mm-hmm. Come up with better, like Haunting a Hill House, you come up with better scares, you can sort of develop the characters a little bit more in each timeline.
Right, and it's all people who just been to this house.
Yep.
Yeah, that would have been great.
Wouldn't have been bad.
Yeah, and like I don't often say like, it's such a departure from the other films, in a lot of ways that count. I thought,
yeah, I felt the same way. Like, particularly with just what modern, mainstream horror is. I'm like, this is taking some risks with that formula.
Yes, it doesn't feel like it could have easily not been a Grudge movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because again, the pacing, it's a lot slower than a Grudge movie.
Yeah.
It doesn't feature the key ghost as much. It doesn't, there was no cats. There was no little boy making cat sounds. It didn't feel
as, I forgot about that. Oh my God.
Oh yeah. Those black cats. It didn't feel as over the top, you know, it's just that the scares were a little cliche. Like if you took this whole movie and replaced the scares with just better ones,
I think it would be much better.
Yeah, I think it would be a way better film.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a shame. I don't know. There's And like I said, like, I would have liked to see the ghost look a little more like the originals, but I, like, more like I wanted to see this director's take on how do you make a more grounded look that's similar to the originals.
Or at least make them look different somehow.
Yeah.
Like, there's ways to make things look frightening that doesn't necessarily have to be this over-the-top look that we're getting from movies like The Nun.
Yeah.
Although that nun is legitimately terrifying looking.
It is, but almost, it's like
right,
too
you become,
much.
Right, you become numb to it after a little bit. You're like, well, there's that fucking objectively terrifying image.
Right, again. It's like a scary clown, where it's like, it's so over the top that you actually get bored with it.
Yeah, yes, exactly.
It's like a Halloween decoration. And so, I don't know, like, there's, again, that's, God, It Follows is such a good movie. Everything they did, I'm going to watch It Follows.
Sure.
Maybe tonight. I'm going to watch Wounds, It Follows, and The Lighthouse.
Do it.
Yeah.
I really want to hear your thoughts about The Lighthouse.
I know. I can't wait. It's been too long.
Oh, my God. The Lighthouse.
I mean, yeah.
Oh, shit.
Nobody. Okay.
I was going to say, unless you had any more thoughts, I think that's about.
Yeah, it. I think that's a sode. I think that's a sode. I think. If you're a fan of the original Grudges, like really into them, you might not like this. But if you're like a horror movie geek, you might find this interesting.
You'll find things about this that you like, yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
It's ultimately disappointing because it's for the most part, it's pretty boring.
Yeah.
But there's some really awesome stuff in it. So
yeah,
I don't know.
It's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks for listening. Yeah, that's the first we just watched of 2020, is it?
Yeah, it sure is.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay, we might have done the patron we just watched already. Wait, what day is it? No, we wouldn't.
No, we didn't. Yeah.
We didn't. This is the first one of 2020. Holy shit.
Yeah, man.
We did it. That's great.
Congratulations, everyone.
Yeah, everybody give yourselves a hand. Thank you so much for listening. If you're interested, you should check out our Patreon, patreon.com/gamefullyunemployed. We have exclusive podcasts like Tom and Jeff Watch Batman and Fox Mulder is a Maniac. So, yeah, do that.
Do it.
Do it.
We also have a store, tpublic.com/store/gamefullyunemployed. We can check out t-shirts, stickers, mugs, posters, whatever you want. You can buy our stuff and make it your stuff.
Uh-huh.
So do that.
Oh, and look out next week for a continuation of our series called Worst Cops Ever.
Yeah.
And we won't tell you what cops we're doing, but they aren't the same cops that we were doing before. So no,
it's a new set of movie cops. You'll have to, that's dropping on Saturday, I believe.
Dropping on Saturday. So check that out.
All right. Take it easy, everyone. Enjoy your week.
Don't get grudged.
Don't get grudged, man. Do not. That shit sticks to you like napalm.
Yeah, it's real grudgy out there.
It's very grudgy.